Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is dying and he gives this last charge to Israel. They have been brought into the promised land, all the promises of God, so many years waiting, and now they are there. And Joshua gives a short review of their history and the kindnesses of God, his faithfulness. And then he gives them some counsel regarding living with this kind of a God in their new land. So we're going to read verse 1 through verse 28. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst, and afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea, but when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and I drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after he has done good to you." The people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him. And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. While there certainly is a lot there to stir our hearts as we think about having an audience with the same king, what a tale has been told in a short space here. But do notice a couple of things. The activity is all on the Lord's side. The Lord did this, the Lord did this, the Lord did this. Hundreds of years mentioned just in a few sentences. But notice also the complete lack of accusation. He does not say, "The Lord did this, but you remember what you did." Do you remember? If you read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you see how many times Israel fails. But no mention of that. Just the fact that the Lord has redeemed them, brought them out of slavery, chosen them, protected them, given them all that he's promised. Let me ask you, what tale could be told for your rescue, Christian? What a tale. It would have to start in eternity past. It would include all that we just read. That's part of your rescue. But all the Old Testament, all those kings, all those prophets, all those rituals, all those worship services, all those sacrifices are all woven together leading up to the new covenant. And then the New Testament, when the king comes and takes the field and Christ himself becomes your champion, and all that he did and all that he suffered. And then the spread of the gospel when the dam of mercy is broken and the tale of God's redemptive labors spreads not just to Israel, but to the pagan nations. 2,000 years, all the tale that could be told, every Christian that's lived and passed the gospel to the next generation. And then you, and this past year, 2016. Have you thought about the tale that will yet be written? For the Christian, as amazing as it is, the best is yet to come. And so while we look back at the foundation of our hope, we do look forward to the dawn that is breaking, and we consider the endless, endless millennia that we will spend with each other and with our King and with every believer that ever has been or will be. So, like Paul's argument in Romans, having these mercies, I beseech you to present your lives as a living sacrifice. Joshua says before he leaves them, "Now therefore," three basic responses. First, put away every god that is still in your midst. Amazing that they would say to Joshua, "Joshua, we will serve the Lord. How can you say we're not going to be able to serve the Lord? We're going to serve the Lord. We promise to serve the Lord." And Joshua says, "Okay, then put away the idols that are still with us." So while they still have idols in their luggage, their family gods, they boast how earnest they are to serve God. Shocking, isn't it? You ever noticed it? You see yourself there? "We will serve the Lord, Christ Church. What will you do in the next year? Would you like to choose another God for next year? Go ahead, let's choose." "No," we say, we want to serve Christ. So what about the heart idols? Put them away. Even the ones, he says, that your fathers worshipped. Even the ones that we grew up with, the ones that our parents didn't see. They were blind to certain spots. Put them away. Incline your heart to the Lord, to renew your love for him. And third, obey his voice. Why? Because he is a jealous God. We're going to look at the zeal and the jealousy of God today. So this is a good passage for our prayer meeting. Now we have the Lord's Supper, and so I'll end our prayer time at about 25 till, and then we'll sing that last verse of that last hymn. And Chuck will come and lead us in the Lord's Supper. But now, while we have time, and while we have an audience with the King, let's incline our hearts again and seek his face.